All right, it's good to see each of you here tonight. We'll be using our hymn books. And Jason wasn't able to be with us tonight, so we're glad that Pastor's son Levi is kind enough to help us out there, so we're thankful for that. The first song is Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. That's 145 in our hymn book, 145. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please. 145.
Taking our place on the cross, Lord, doing it in love, even knowing what we would do with our lives, how we'd fail you, Lord, you still willingly took on our sins. Lord, we can never thank you enough, Lord, but I pray that you'd help us to live for you every single day, Lord, to get closer to you every single day, Lord, to live in the rest of Jesus Christ that Pastor was talking about this morning, Lord. Help us to make every day count for you. Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us tonight in this service. Lord, if you're not here, there's no point in being here, Lord. Help us to make sure our hearts are clean, Lord, and that we can hear what it is that you have for us tonight, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit would meet with each one of us, Lord. Prick our hearts, Lord. Challenge us from your word. Lord, I pray that you'd just get us safely home tonight. And we'll thank you for what you'll do here tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. The next song is At Calvary. That's 155 in our book. 155 in our book. At Calvary.
Thank you.
there.
So, well, those who are here this morning, again, July 3rd, we'll be doing our picnic from 12 to 6. The big thing, the membership list, hopefully we'll have that done by next Sunday for everybody to get a copy. Please check it again, make sure everything's good with it. If everything's good, we're going to make the final printing and hand them out next Sunday, so we've got the membership list up here for any corrections. Lord willing, next Sunday, Brother Sasser will be with us from Hope of Israel Baptist Mission. He's got a good ministry going. He's had it going for 20-some years. He's a faithful brother, so look forward to having him in next Sunday. And just keep the visitors that came in this morning, especially a young man that came by, Dan, just keep him in prayer. God, he'd come back out again, have a good talk with him. So good services this morning. Just keep praying. Pray for Jonathan as well. I'm not sure what happened, why he couldn't make it this morning. Lord, I'll try to call him tomorrow. Just keep that young man in prayer. I had a chance to talk to him this past Monday. God would just deal with him, and he'd come out to church. So that's about all I got.
Okay. All right. Just the additional part about the sign-up sheet for the picnic on Saturday. We want you to sign up if you would like to come. If you want to bring something, you can. You don't absolutely have to. But if you can bring something and would like to, please put that next to your name after you sign up. So hope to see everybody come out. And we'll have a great time. Part of the reason for signing up is we want to make sure we have the, enough hot dogs and hamburgers for everybody. So we'll be dealing with that this week as well. All right. Our next song is Nearer, My God, to Thee. That's number 236 in our hymn book. 236. sung that one here. It's good. All right, our last song before the message, 529 in our book. It's Day by Day, 529. Let's stand, please, as we sing, if you're able to. 529.
Tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Let me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take us from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Amen. It's a good song. If you take your Bibles this evening, we're going to continue on our study in 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll be picking up again here in, let me get my find myself here, verse number 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says here, it says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening, Lord, for us to be able to gather around your word. Lord, I ask for wisdom, guidance, direction. Lord, I pray again you'd open our eyes. I pray you'd open our ears and hearts to receive what you'd have for us. Lord, as day by day, as the hymn we just sang, dear God, that trials, tribulations, difficulties, Lord, things that overwhelm us, Lord, help us to turn to your holy word, dear God, to find strength, to find encouragement, to continue on. And Lord, take hold of the promises that were left to us, Lord, till you call us home someday. And we just ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, last week we looked at verse number 14, and we looked at the first part where it talks about that the churches are in, where it says verse 14, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." And we looked about how last week you can follow a man, talks about following churches that, and I believe if they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't go wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with following somebody as long as they follow God and follow the Lord Jesus according to His Word. And so it's imperative, it's important to us, as I try to keep emphasizing the time that we spend in God's Word, that we can pick up and we can detect if somebody comes across and says that they're following Christ, yet are going contrary to what the Bible says. So if it's contrary to what the Word of God says, then I'm not going to be so quick to follow it then, if to follow it at all. So Paul tells the church here, he says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." Take your Bible, look over at 1 Timothy, a couple pages over to the book of 1 Timothy, and look at chapter 6. I'm not sure if I couldn't remember if I covered this at all last week, so I want to look at it real quick before we move into the second part there. But not only can you follow a church, follow a man, here's some other things that are very important that we follow after. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 11. Paul telling Timothy here in his letter, he says in chapter 6 of verse number 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." There's a good list for us to follow after. What Paul puts the emphasis on as he writes to Timothy, he says, "Thou, man of God, flee the things that he's listed beforehand." But then he says, follow after some very important things like righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and to fight a good fight of faith, laying hold on what? What does Paul want Timothy to lay hold on? He wants him to lay hold on eternal life. Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. Do not lay hold on this life, because this life is fleeting. But Timothy, if you can lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast a good profession before many witnesses, follow after godliness, righteousness, faith, love, patience, meekness. They're not going to leave you dry. They're not going to leave you empty. And they're not going to leave you unfruitful in your work for God. You see, look, my thought this evening is, it's good to know the Bible. I want you to know the Bible. But just the mere head knowledge of historical facts or where things are at in the Bible are fine and good and okay. But that's not going to bear the fruit that you need to bear in your own life. What God's looking for in your life is just not some mere intellect about what the Bible says, but rather that you're following after some things that are the true fruits of God, which are godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. What God puts the emphasis on, and you see the emphasis placed here by Paul to Timothy, follow after these things. Flip over real quick, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, the second letter that he writes to Timothy. He makes the same mention about the same type of things. And I believe I did look at this last week, but we'll look at it again here. Verse 19 through 22, Paul talking to Timothy again in his second letter. In chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Not only do we want these fruits of godliness, faith, righteousness, love to be evident in our life, we also want to be about good works. Good works. What can you do good for someone else? First thing, if you can't do anything at all, one thing you can do is pray for one another. That's a good work. That's a very needful work. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't put a lightness on prayer. There's power in prayer, and I believe it's a good work that you can do. We can pray for one another. So these are some things to follow after that Paul showed to Timothy. But look at the next thing it says over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." The church is in Christ Jesus. It's part of his body. Look over at chapter 1, same book. Chapter 1, verse number 1. Look what Paul says. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus," look what he says, "unto the church of the Thessalonians," look what he says, "which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." Same thing he's mentioning again in chapter 2, verse 14. He says that the churches in Judea are also in Christ Jesus. Flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul says the same thing again. 2 Thessalonians 1, 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The church body is in Christ Jesus. You see, the true church is not a physical building, but is made up of the truly born-again believers that are in Christ Jesus. This body of believers in Christ Jesus ought to give continual glory unto the Father. You see, some people say, "I'm going to church," and they refer to it as a building. Now, some people get a little technical on it. I understand when somebody says, "I'm going to church," to go to a building. But according to the Word of God, the church is not a building. The church is the people that meet within the building. It is the believers that are the church of God in Christ Jesus. All of us that are saved this evening and are in this building that are saved, we're in Christ Jesus, and that is the church. The church is the body of believers. Now, you have a local body of believers, which is us, but I also believe you have a universal body of believers. We're not the only church in all the world. There's other good churches all across the entire world. And someday we're all going to come together someday there in eternity, and we will make up the church of God in eternity, the body of Christ. Okay? This is just a local body of believers. This is a small microcosm of what the church is made up of. There's many more believers out there across this land, the United States, and across this entire world. There's other believers out there that believe just like we believe, that are struggling just like you're struggling, all around the world. And so we can pray for one another. We ought to pray for one another, and we ought to pray for our believers that are across in other countries, that God would help them to stay faithful in Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse number 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family is named after Christ. The whole family in heaven and in earth. Verse 16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." Why? "That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Verse 21 says this. It says, "unto him." Who's that him? It goes back on up to verse number 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we give glory and honor to our Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Listen, you can't honor the Father till you have the Son. You can't come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. You come to the Father and you give glory and honor to the Father by living your life through Jesus Christ and allow Jesus Christ to live through you. And you can bring glory and honor unto him. And listen, brethren, there's power in that. I was talking about this morning about how there's power to get victory in your life. And it's evident again here in Ephesians chapter 3. Because if you look at verse number 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Jesus Christ can do above all that we ask or think exceeding abundantly. Jesus Christ just doesn't have a little bit of help for you. He's got exceeding abundant help for you. But you got to go to him, and you got to talk to him, and you got to spend time with him, and he'll give you that power to help you get victory in your life. But it's not going to be an easy walk, but it can be accomplished. Take your Bible. Well, Christ Jesus is the head of the church, and we are commanded to be subject unto him. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Go over to chapter 5, same book, Ephesians. We're looking at the church, and the followers of the churches of, which are in God and in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians. But look at chapter 5 and look at verse number 21. Referring to the church here, we'll find it in this chapter. But look at chapter 5, verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So here you see a principle, you see something being established here, that there's something that's similar between a husband and a wife as the church is with its believers. It says in verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, just as a wife is to submit herself to her own husband as unto the Lord." Verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." But then he gives a command to the husbands. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Jesus Christ, God the Father, desires for the church to be without spot, to be without wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and that the wife see that she reverence her husband." But you see here in verse number 25, actually up to verse number 24, that the church, the body of believers, is love, is sanctified, and is cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 25, the latter part. It says, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Jesus loved the church. Who does Jesus represent in the marriage? The husband. The wife represents the church. Right? So Jesus says that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Any good man will love his wife and give his life for his wife, if it came to it. Any good man that loves his wife, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, a husband ought to do the same as well. Jesus Christ loves us and he gave himself for us. We can do the same not only within our families, but for one another as well. True love gives and doesn't look for anything back in return. Jesus Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. And not only that, he did verse 26. He sanctified it and he cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. You want to get cleansed? You desire for sanctification in your life? Spend time in the word of God. Not only did Christ do these things for us, in verse number 29 it says that he also nourisheth and cherisheth it. Christ Jesus, not only does he love us, sanctifies us, tries to cleanse us, washes us, but he also nourishes us and cherishes us. Nourish means this, to feed and cause to grow, to support, to supply the means of support and increase, to encourage. You see, Jesus Christ desires to see you grow, to support you, to encourage you, and to see you increase in your walk with him. He wants to nourish you, but he also cherishes you. Cherish means this, to treat with tenderness and affection, to give warmth, ease, or comfort to. A husband ought to nourish and cherish his wife as well. To comfort your wife in tenderness and affection, to be warm, to hold as dear, to treat in a manner to encourage growth by protection, aid, attendance, or supplying nourishment. Jesus Christ will do these things for us. Brethren, I believe this sure as I'm standing here. I've said it before, I've said it in a lot of places, that two slices of bread on Monday aren't going to carry you through the whole week. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get the growth that you're looking for if it's just two slices of bread. No, you got to spend time with the Lord. You got to spend time in his word. And you got to allow him. You got to give him space and time to be able to feed you. But that takes time and effort on your part. And it takes work. It takes a desire for God to move and strengthen you in your life. The latter part, you say, preacher, why are you talking about all these things? Because look back over at 1 Thessalonians. I ain't going to be very long tonight, but I want to cover this last thing here. You say, why do I need to be in church all the time? Why do I need to read my Bible as much as you're saying you want me to read my Bible? Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to do these things? Because look at verse 13. I'm going to come back up to verse 14, but look at verse 13. Well, the latter part of verse 14. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. You see, those churches that were of God in Judea, they suffered things of the Jews. They were persecuted. They were afflicted because of what they believed about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see why you need to be strengthened today is not only to fight the daily battles that you got to fight, but you got to be strengthened in the inner man for what might be coming down the pipeline again this country. That if that day ever comes to where there is persecution, to where there ever is affliction or trials that are of a physical nature, you have been built and grounded and rooted in what the Word of God says. Therefore, you'll have the strength, hopefully, to go through it if it ever does occur. You see, look, in the military, you join the military, you go to boot camp, then you go to special training. Sometimes some of those schools can take up to 2 years before you're ever even using what you're being trained for. I'm looking at the church as the same way. Let's take what time that we have peace and safety and quietness and use that time to grow and be what God would have us to be, not only in the time that we're living in, but what we might have to face in the future. That we're building ourselves up, that we're making ourselves strong now for the day that might be coming that we might need that strength. It'll be too late. Let's say something happens, God forbid, 3 or 4 years from now. It'll be too late 3 or 4 years from now when it starts happening to say, okay, now I want to get strong. Now I want to be where I want to be in my faith. It's too late. You wasted those 2 or 3 or 4 years that God was giving you to build up and strengthen your faith for what might be coming. Take advantage of the time that God's given you now to grow and be strengthened in the things of God. Don't wait for it till it's too late. Take advantage of what God is allowing for you to have right now. He says in verse 14, he says, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. You see, the brethren at Thessalonica have suffered for their belief in Christ, just as their brethren in Judea, the churches that were there, as they followed Christ. Suffer means this, to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable, or distressing, either in body or mind. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. The church is just getting going, and look what happens in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. We see the man who's writing this letter to Thessalonica, we see that he wasn't always that way. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. Acts 8, 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That's exactly what Paul's telling them there in Thessalonica. Listen, your own countrymen, those there, the churches that were in Judea, in God, they suffered the same things that you're suffering of your own countrymen. They suffered them of the Jews. And one of them, before he got saved, was Saul, who also later on became Paul. He persecuted the church so much so that the church got scattered throughout Samaria and Judea, except for the apostles. The persecution was so great that the church got broken up and spread out, except for the apostles. Look over to chapter 9 in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, look at verse 1. Here's Saul again. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul continuing on this rampage of trying to destroy the church which is in Christ Jesus. Flip over to chapter 11 and verse 19. Same book, book of Acts, chapter 11, and look at verse number 19. Acts 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Here again you see the persecution continuing on and causing the true Christian believers to spread out even further, preaching the word of God to the Jews only. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 7. You know what going through some things does for you in your life? When you suffer some things, when you go through some things. Brother Glenn, I think you could attest to this. Brother, you sitting there at the house with your back. I believe it could teach you some patience. I mean, there's not much you can do when you laid up and you're hurting, you can't walk. God can do some things there and teach you some things when you're laid up in a hospital bed. When you're suffering things, it's also, there's times when we're suffering things that God can also teach us things through that suffering. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, referring to Jesus Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, look at verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's an amazing verse in the Bible. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You want to learn to be obedient? God will probably put you through some suffering. But look, if you're a child of God this morning, you know without a shadow of doubt that anything that God allows you to go through, it's for His good purpose. Anything that you might go through that you feel is a trial, a tribulation, affliction, something that you're suffering, God has got a purpose in it. You suffering with your back, I don't know all the purposes in it, but God does, and He knows what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in Brother Glenn's life and the things going on with his back. And anybody else in here that are suffering and going through trials and tribulations, God knows that. God's not ignorant of it. And God, if you're saved, has a purpose for you through it. And it may just be to learn obedience. Because Jesus learned the same thing. The Bible says he learned obedience, which blows my mind away. The Son of God learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, we automatically think because we're suffering something that it's automatically coming from the enemy. It may be, but God may be using it for his purposes to teach you something about obedience or patience or love or long-suffering to help you grow stronger in him in your faith. That you can know that no matter what you're going through, Christ Jesus is your rock and your foundation. Amen. To where you don't lose hope and you don't turn your back on him. Saying, what good is it used to follow in Jesus because I keep going through these things. What's the use? I'm done. I quit. How many believers have quit and turned their back on Christ? They're still saved, but they turned their back and they said, I'm just done with it. I'm tired of constantly going through the battles. I'm tired of always facing the battles in my mind. I'm tired of facing the battles in my flesh. I'm tired of facing the battles in society. I'm just tired. I'm just going to take a break and just step off. You can't. You got to keep going forward in Jesus Christ. You see this principle all through the New Testament. Don't quit. Come to the throne of grace. Come to Jesus Christ. Allow him to strengthen, help you, and comfort you through the things you're going through. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Flip over to chapter 10 and we'll close with this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 33. 33 and 34. Hebrews 10, 33 and 34. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 30. Let's start at verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. But look at verse 33 or 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Stay faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Count it joy if the day ever comes of the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Look, stay faithful to Jesus. There's a reward in it. Stay faithful to Jesus. There's treasures to be laid up in heaven. Look, what did Jesus say? He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. Where a moth can't corrupt it and cause it to rot away, or a thief can't come in there and steal it. Jesus said, Jesus wants you to lay up treasures, not on this earth, but in heaven. There's a reward for following the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a good Savior. But just be faithful to Him. Don't draw back as others have to perdition, but go forward. But it's going to take what it says there in verse number 36. Which I'll be the first one to stand in line for this line. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We looked at two verses in Hebrews this evening, talking about patience and talking about obedience. Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And then you go on to chapter 10 in Hebrews, and he says you have need of patience. The things that we go through will teach us patience if we'll allow God to work in our life. Closing with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Don't be surprised if you suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray you'd help us to lay these things to heart this week. Lord, I pray for open doors. Lord, I pray you'd give us people to be able to talk to this week about you, Lord Jesus, that you would be able to provide situations, Lord, where we may have an opportunity to tell and talk to someone about their soul and where they truly stand concerned eternity. Help us just to stay faithful, Lord. Help us to learn these things, Lord. Help us to have patience and help us to learn obedience. Dear God, that we can lay up treasures in heaven, Lord, and it would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us now. Bring us home safe tonight, Lord. Give us safety on the roadways. Lord, I pray you be with those that are sick. I pray again tonight you be with Brother Les and Sister Nancy. Strengthen, comfort, encourage them with the battles they're facing. Lord, I pray you continue to help Brother Glenn with his back. Lord, strengthen him. It's a blessing to see him here tonight, Lord. And I pray you continue to give the doctors wisdom and guidance and just help him with decisions he has to make. Lord, I pray also you be with Chris Mitchell out there in San Francisco. Continue to help him, encourage him, strengthen him, Lord, with all the work he's got to do in that home. Lord, just give him the encouragement he needs tonight. And Lord, I just thank you for all you do for us. Lord, you're good. Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. And Lord willing, see you on Wednesday night.